Oh, it's Wednesday night. I'm somewhat glad to be here. We open with a piece of music by Artie Shaw that I've used for many years when I do health-related programs. So welcome to The Edge tonight. And our hopefully we can continue this, although I've got more than enough to keep us going. What I hope to remain is our Wednesday night entree to health with you. Take that sick, twisted sense of humor any way you want, and many of you understand it. Jeff Bennett here. Question for you. And something to seriously consider, and actually before I get to the question, there are occasions in my studies and my work in this endeavor that I will occasionally come across a doctor that is an absolute mind blower. I mean, you open up your eyes and you smile because of what he has to say and what he sees going on within the medical community. So the question becomes, and I'll tell you later who the doctor is, has modern medicine gone mad? We look at things like autism and morphine, vaccines, cancer, chemotherapy, statins, antidepressants, gender manipulation, please, radiation, Ebola, coronavirus. I'll have an interesting comment on that in just a moment. Heart attacks, opiates, antibiotics, strokes, HIV, late termination. It goes on and on and on. Let me share with you my comment regarding the coronavirus. What I'm sharing with you was actually published in February of this year. When did coronavirus all of a sudden become an issue in this country? Wasn't it early March? And yet, nearly 2 weeks before that, what I'm sharing with you was published. Interesting. We continue. We're seeing a slow movement forming against some of the methods used by the so-called modern medical establishment within the medical community itself, and education towards other methods outside the mainstream as information becomes more available and they look beyond what is perceived as the accepted wisdom of the medical world. And our doctor, Simon Furman, is just one of those doctors within that movement. He's a qualified medical doctor, a holistic practitioner, and in his personal view, conventional medicine can learn much from the complementary world and vice versa. The future of the health industry depends on combining the best results of the modern and alternative world together under one roof. Now, some of you, that's going to bother you. But even Dr. Kelly would teach in the writings in his books and the things that he taught me would openly admit to some of the amazing, simply amazing, profound, positive things that the modern medical community has developed over the years. But there are certain things that they ignore. But let's go back to Dr. Furman. He says that combining modern medicine with the best in alternative practices would expose the quackery and the greed on both sides of the medical coin. For yes, we see it all the time. There are faults on both sides. I mean, I know of a so-called doctor that has a website, and he is a fraud. He is a thief. He is promoting copyrighted material under his own name, and he cannot be reached. I'm going to have to go after his webmaster and demand content with this so-called doctor. But let's ignore all that. Let's begin with some of the positives. Because, as we said, there's so much that each can learn from the other. Dr. Furman focuses on what he knows gets the best results. Both conventional medicine and alternative practices do have advantages and disadvantages, depending on the situation or the illness or the condition and at which stage it is in. From all that he has seen and experienced over his medical lifetime, the most exciting breakthroughs have come from the alternative world. Treatments like immunotherapy, stem cells, ozone, medical cannabis have made a vast difference to many patients' health, turning them back from illness. And this, of course, is part of the problem. It all comes at a fraction of the cost of the current conventional recommended route of chemotherapy and radiotherapy, or what we call radiation, and surgery. Furman has been lucky enough to have studied on both sides of the industry, making divide feel that the mainstream and alternative medical worlds are actually much the same, he thinks. He says, I like to look at both sides of the medical coin. Just as much as I like them, I can also loathe them both in equal measure. As a medical doctor, he's trained at many hospitals, was given a formal medical education, but it took a very personal loss to make him look for other answers and to continue his own research from a wider perspective. We've heard those stories before. For the doctor, modern science is incredible. The diagnostic tools that we now have today are so precise. The technology continues to improve. If someone breaks an arm, they're better off in a hospital, not in a holistic clinic. A&E departments are amazing places, and he admires his friends greatly who work under such constant pressure. Without blood testing, X-rays and MMR scans and other diagnostic tools, his job would be impossible. The holistic world needs those kind of technology and research. But he would like to propose the idea of a new alternative care ward within the hospital. And then they would be able to offer patients more choice, more options, and ultimately hope. Even better, if medical insurance were to also cover it. For those methods are cheaper, actually make people feel better, so they put less strain on the overall medical industry. His choice of words bothers me. He says, for the methods are cheaper and actually make people feel better. I don't like the term make people feel better. I maintain from much of what I've been taught that the alternatives will help make people healthy. It's a big difference. Feeling better and being better or being healthier are two different things. But he goes on to say that the government's medical budgets would be reduced, all of which needs serious consideration. But there's only one problem with all of this so far. Trying to get the mainstream medical community and big pharma and the pro-vaccine people, etc., to cave in. It's not the simple thing to do. As I've stated a long, long time, I learned these things from Kelly. I publish it many times on his site. What if I told you there's multiple cures for cancer, but they're suppressed because cancer is worth $200 billion a year? Do you think that the mainstream medical community wants to give that up? Let's continue. According to Dr. Furman, he believes that cancer treatment needs both sides. He says when it comes to cancer, chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation all have their place. We've got to consider everything that is available for each and every patient. They have the right to choose from all options. Well, I would agree with that. A patient, a cancer victim, does have a right to choose from all the options. That's if the options are properly presented to them. When it comes to cancer, chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation all have their place. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Kelly and others have written for years that it can be done without all of the above. Chemotherapy and radiation have a tendency to speed up the death process. In effect, in many cases, shorten the life of an awful lot of patients. Why? Big money in doing chemotherapy and surgery and radiation, isn't there? Greed tends to will out, my friends. If some of this offends you, I'm sorry. That's all the more reason you need to listen and learn of options that are out there. I'm not here to sell you a damn thing tonight. I'm here to share with you things to seriously consider. Things you need to look more carefully and deeply into. Dr. Furman says that his first option is to always save someone's life first and foremost. In an emergency situation and someone's life is under threat, then you must choose the treatment that works the fastest. If a tumor is pressing an artery, for example, and time is critical, but once you're out of the danger zone, you can repair damage in gentler ways. One can repair the liver and the gut to the best of our knowledge. So it's about striking a balance that is best for the health and the comfort of the patient. But I maintain that some of these things also have options. I'm not here to share those with you today. I'm doing nothing more than sharing with you the commentary and the beliefs of this particular doctor. Some of it I agree with, some of it I don't agree with. But then I'm not a trained, licensed physician. The doctor goes on to say, for me, all of this is about knowledge. What can I or my colleagues think of to help the person in need who has come to see us? I need to offer this person the best chance. And as doctors, their knowledge is everything. It is what could save a person's life or end it very quickly. So yes, it's all important. But this next key, this next few words that he states, I think have got the greatest degree of importance, not just in the medical field, but even in our daily lives, whether it deals with health-related issues or not. He states, keep learning and do not stop evolving. That covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? Doctor continues to say, I realize that many doctors are overworked. The patient loads are overwhelming, but you owe it to your patients to look at new studies and continue to research the best methods of treatment, whatever the field. One thing that holistic medicine teaches us is that the root cause of the disease must be addressed. Where did this begin in the body and the mind of the patient? We must concentrate on the feeds and the source of the cancer in order to treat it. Well, I might suggest the doctor reads some of Dr. Kelly's work and it might help you. And don't misunderstand, there are other doctors who were amazingly successful in the field. Hulda Clark, for one. I look at people like, and I'm going to blank on names right now because it's kind of out of context from where I'm at. I'm having these moments more and more. And part of it is because my nutritional intake as of late has been amazingly poor. My stress has been amazingly high for family reasons, for the sickness and the health that we face in this nation. I'm not talking about the common cold. I'm talking about the stuff that we've been talking about more and more for these last 5 or 6 months. People need to take their health seriously. And I'm going to add to that, people also need to accept their health as their personal responsibility. Don't just go to the doctor and say, doctor, make me well. And Dr. Furman agrees, because he openly says patients do have a responsibility as well. Never should you let your doctor care more about your own health than you do. We see so much lack of care sometimes when all that is needed is a change in diet or a healthier lifestyle. getting natural vitamin D, some exercise, and there'd be a lot fewer problems across the Western world. God gave you this body, this vessel to sail in. The least you can do is look after it while you're using it. And so the doctor's advice to other doctors is to explain to their patients in easy-to-understand language. Try not to use medical jargon so much. It blinds people to the truth. Be the friendly face, not the grim reaper, he's telling the other doctor. Never put a time on someone's life. I mean, we talk about Dr. Kelly when he was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctor would not tell Kelly, but he told his wife, I give him about 2 months to live. You tell that to the patient, the patient may just go home and just die right then and there. And so, Dr. Furman, and I agree with this, the psychological abuse of putting a time to someone's life is wrong. It strips people to the very core. They carry it deep inside, believing the statistic to be an exact prediction on when their life will end. We know one thing for sure, and that is that we're all going to die one day. But we need to stop telling people when it will be. Hanging on your every word, these are the phrases your patients are going to remember. My doctor says I'm going to die by March. Medically, as a result of this trauma, the immune system goes into a shock fight or flight mode and then into a depression. All is the vicious start of a downward spiral that allows the dis-ease to further advance and grow more quickly. 1972, my father was given a death sentence. He had cancer. He was told that he might live for 2 more years. 1972. My father was an amazing cook. He understood food. It didn't need to be the most expensive cut of steak or beef or anything else. He knew what to do with it. He knew how to work with it. He'd done it so much of it in his life. He lived until late 1998. Food, diet made all the difference. Toward the later years, he started drinking again a little bit, et cetera, but never crazy stuff. Let's go back to the doctor's comments about cancer. Cancer patient in this particular instance. He says the cancer in the patient's mind is often larger than the tumor itself. A person could have a 98% well body and only 2% cancer, but the patient and the medical profession, by and large, focus on the tiny 2%. Well, the other 98% might be well and able, but gets completely overshadowed and forgotten. And the 2% seems far greater in the patient's mind and ultimately kills them. And yet, with a better outlook, we give a person a better chance of survival simply by how and what we say as doctors. Focusing more on the 98%, it could even help clear up some of this 2% nonsense. Now let's talk about the doctor's own personal situation that he referenced earlier. It took something very personal for him to begin looking at both sides. He said it was when I had to watch my own father pass away from lung cancer that it really affected me. It was the treatment that killed him. I saw that. But I was helpless. I saw my father's organs melted by radiology. I did not know what to do. It was all too late for my father. He taught me so much, but his passing and the way he died perhaps taught me the most. Chemotherapy and radiation came like thieves in the night. They stole his dignity and his quality of life, eroded his soul, which burned him from the inside out. It's like a red-hot poker on a rare piece of steak. It sears and burns your organs. And it was this that turned him away from the mainstream medical establishment. Dr. Furman felt let down by it at that time, and he changed his approach, and because he did not want that to happen to others. And so he went on a new quest of discovery, searching for other answers and alternatives. He studied the holistic methods for 7 years. He studied magnet therapy, acupuncture, ozone, immunotherapy, stem cells, along with many other aspects of natural health. And why? Because it all comes back to the fact that for this doctor, personally, the bottom line is the patient's quality of life. We must always try to give life to focus on the patient's comfort, keep them out of pain where possible, and keep them happy as best we can. And so you can see the issues that Dr. Furman has. He sits on both sides when it comes to the classification of a category. Holistic and mainstream are both very capable of saving and improving lives when it comes to the treatment of diseases. Chemistry is chemistry. When herbs break down in the body, they become chemicals as well. And this is not just the case for the pharmaceutical drugs, but herbs are also made up of chemicals. What is actually needed is a good understanding of the science at the very level of the living cell, for it is at this level that we need to understand what is happening, what our treatments are doing inside the organs and the blood of our patients and within the tumors that we are treating. If you mix enough tablets together, you could still be making a bomb inside of a person's body. And yet Dr. Furman says, I'm eternally grateful to our biochemists for their knowledge. Every good doctor should know one and be good friends with one. For every patient taking pharmaceutical drugs, we need to know the dosage just as much as we need to know what supplements they're taking and what food they're eating. All goes down one tube, down the throat, to the stomach, and onto the intestines. So we all need to know how this reacts and combines in their body. And everyone is generally different. But alternative medicine, in some respects, is already feeding into modern medicine. For some years now, I've been watching when I watch television, which is almost non-existent any longer, Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We have one not too far from my home, and I drive by it occasionally. It's quite interesting. The massive fields where they are planting and growing their own food for their patients. Yeah. A hospital with a farm around it, growing their own natural vegetables and foods for their patients. Times are changing. The shift is occurring. Information has become so much more easily available. So the evidence of the good that many alternative therapies can offer has emerged. We see the rise of cannabis oil as more accepted and understood, and once you've witnessed its effects, you can never underestimate the power of medical marijuana. Now, that's something that's never interested me. First of all, I've never cared for marijuana. I've tried it exactly 5 times in my life, and I couldn't stand it at any time. I've not even attempted that stuff now since the 1970s. Just don't care about it. Didn't like it. And yet, about a year and a half ago, maybe it's been a year now, there was a woman that lived next door to my son's house. That's the house that I restored some 5 years ago. And my son and his family had moved back east. And they didn't know what to do with their house. Said, should we sell it? Should we rent it out? Now, forget renting it out. You're going to be there. How are you going to collect the money? The place is going to be trashed. It's the kind of neighborhood that it draws junk. I moved in. My goal was to be there for probably 6 to 8 weeks, do a painting, clean up, restoration, pick stuff, get out, put it up, get it up on the market. I was there for 11 months. The home needed far more than one could ever imagine. At that time in the real estate market, I moved in there in June of 2014, 6 years ago. And I was there until May of a year later. Now, that's only across town. It's 20 minutes away from my home with my wife. I only returned home three times in that year. Once was for my eldest granddaughter's birthday. The other two, I can't remember why, but doesn't matter. Anyway, next door to him was a gal who was quite amazing. She is a masseuse. Not one of those kind of massage chicky poos that, you know, $3 an hour and an all-nighter, that type of thing. No, she's an amazing gal. Chiropractors turn some of their patients over to her. She's that good. And about a year ago, I was not doing well, and I needed to go avail myself of her services. And, of course, she sold me something which she'd never done before, but I figured the hell with it, I'll give it a run. And it is a little jar of CBD oil. And I still have that, and I've used it upon occasion. I had to use some last week. The pain in my right shoulder was so absolutely unbelievable, and I've not had it since. You rub that stuff in. But, yeah, pretty amazing stuff. So there's some good stuff out there. Our doctor continues by saying it's been a battle for many years, doctors having to be very careful with the way they advise on the uses of medical marijuana and cannabis oil, etc. The endocannabinoid system cannot be underestimated, Dr. Furman says, and shows why we need medical cannabis so much. The alternative world of medicine is becoming more popular in hospitals when you can now see Rife machines, acupuncture, ozone, mindfulness, just to name but a few. But those hospitals are a little scarce. What he is against is the enforced use of chemo and radiation when it comes to all cancers, especially those that have hardly any chance at all of those methods working. If we know it's not going to work, then it's not the right answer. If we know it has dire side effects, it's simply making that person's life worse than this is more reason not to use it. And so the first rule of medical school should always be to do no harm. Always be human. It's an interesting commentary. It goes on for quite a ways. We are going to probably have some time to share more of it. But do understand we're going to kind of continue some of the conversation with some of the things as relates to prostate cancer, a few other things. I don't plan on coming up talking about cancer each and every week. We were talking about metabolic therapy last week, etc. And my goal was to complete that discussion this week because it's quite lengthy. But you know what? If I can introduce you to these concepts here on the program, I'm going to guide you to where you can read the balance of this. Anyway, break time. Stick around. Be back in a couple minutes, huh? How did interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. I want to ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hear ye, hear ye. ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus, for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready.
Oh, welcome back, my friends. Amazing piece of music. Amazing singer. A man who I miss terribly. Curtis Mayfield. Something else. Guy did some brilliant, brilliant work. Out of Chicago. Oof. Yeah. People get ready. There's a train coming, okay, and a lot of folks are going to get run down. But let's see what we can do to keep on helping you and sharing information with you in the health field, that so long as we are, I'd like to say, blessed to be on this planet Earth, that we can make some differences in our own lives. In some of the things that the doctor has spoken of here that I'm sharing, our diet, our exercise, a positive mind of stop getting locked into everything your doctor tells you. I think I shared with you last week that when it was first discovered that I had an issue some years ago, 17, 18 years ago, a thyroid issue. And the doctor would get ticked off because I didn't go in for new blood work, new this, new that, every single year when he said I had to be there. And then one day, because I couldn't be there when he wanted me there, he sent me a letter, a registered letter, terminating our relationship. Basically, he was firing me as a patient. Well, understand there was a little bit more to it than that. He became a little offended when he and I would have various different conversations. He's a relatively young doctor. He's only been practicing a couple of years, and actually he was a good guy. And discussion came up about cancer, not that it was suspicious with me, but some of the things that he dealt with, some of the people he dealt with, some of the issues he crossed with. And I told him a little bit about my work with Dr. Kelly, the broadcast, et cetera, et cetera. And told him I'd bring a couple things up to him to add to his library. And I took Dr. Kelly's book up, which at that time was called One Answer to Cancer with Cancer Cure, and the self-test for the different metabolic types. And he thanked me for it. And next time I saw him, which was a few months later, he said, yeah, well, I looked at it, but I don't believe in that crap. You see, that's the problem. The medical community, as most of us know it, and look, you may have a spouse that's a practicing doctor or a nurse or a child who's a doctor or nurse, and you just believe in everything they say because it's the word of God. No, it's not the word of that God. It's the word of you think your child or your spouse is a God. It's very, very sad. Very, very sad. They're locked into what they were taught. They're locked into to promoting the pharmaceutical drugs that Big Pharma is promoting to them at the behest of a couple of hot, long-legged, very nicely tanned, low-bloused babes that get sent in to sell them the stuff. And I've shared that story with you before. I've personally seen this stuff. Dr. Furman says that he's seen many examples where we have mixed mainstream medicine with alternative therapies in the clinics he's been involved with. He once met a British woman by the name of Amanda Mary who volunteered at their clinic and overheard her on several occasions speaking to people and patients about other alternative therapies. And at first, Dr. Furman thought she was a little crazy and secretly called her Crazy Mary. But after several months, we began to witness improvements in the patients that she had helped, and especially with prostate cancer. Results that they had not previously seen attracted Dr. Furman's attention, as well as other colleagues in the industry, that they could not deny the reduction in PSA readings, as well as the improvement in general well-being in the patient. And this intrigued oncologists further. Today, they become trained in those techniques in some parts of the world. And since incorporating that advice, they've begun to see even further increases in good results when it comes to prostate and other cancers. One example of the two worlds combining. These were also selected patients, often family members of doctors, and doctors themselves, which really saddened him. And what we so often see is that doctors who so routinely hand out chemotherapy treatments never want to see that happen to their own. They seek out other alternatives as they know full well how ghastly the effects of the mainstream route can be. Kind of like, well, there's one rule for us and another one for them. I can only say that a doctor... that as a doctor, Furman says, it's not widely spoken of. Autism is another example. In October of last year, we decided to publicly trial a young boy by the name of Wes Shepherd. In short, the parents of his 7-year-old boy had seen a 50% recovery. Within 4 days of commencing with the new and innovative protocol, we witnessed speech begin where he had been nonverbal before that. 10 months into the protocol, not 1 week passes when the child does not show improvement. The case has been fully documented to include medical records, and there will be a fully detailed column in the future to follow. Again, this protocol combines the best of both worlds with the best of holistic and modern medicine working together. As a medical profession, Dr. Furman says, We owe it to the parents and the patient to listen to them, as especially with autism, this rarely happens. And this is, the doctor says, at this date, I would never say no to radiation. He says it has its place in treatments. One example is that a lady in her mid-60s had a lymph gland and a tumor under her armpit the size of a melon. It was encroaching on the main artery leading to the heart. The full mainstream approach would have been to immediately amputate the arm with a full course of antibiotics to follow, along with a full course of chemo and radiation. Dr. Furman reviewed the case, and in the end, the chosen route was 6 rounds of targeted radiation to begin immediately. The growth could have stopped her heart at any moment. In her case, choosing radiation took the pressure off the vein. It shrunk the tumor, which gave enough time to deal with it later. And thus, they avoided surgery and antibiotics, which stripped the gut and damaged the liver, which then caused further problems, and she was able to keep her arm. Did you hear that? They avoided surgery and antibiotics, which would strip the gut and damage the liver, and they were able to avoid it. This is the thing that has been so refreshing to read this earlier today and to be able to share it with you tonight. He said this was one example where radiation can be useful. Holistically, we could not have dealt with this. The lady would not have survived 2 more days. So, step by step, little by little. But as I mentioned, this is the refreshing part. He sees both sides of the issue. This is one of the areas that is very bothersome to me. The discussion of chemo versus immunotherapy, sometimes known as GCMAF. There is an immunotherapy supplement called GCMAP. It has been proving its effectiveness against cancer and HIV and autism and other autoimmune diseases for years. Described as the Pac-Man of the immune system, GCMAP has been compared to the little yellow character in Pac-Man, as it is an essential protein, which is an integral part of the immune system's self-defense. Its job is to engulf and stop disease, hunt down the pathogens in the body's blood supply. I will be posting all that I've shared with you tonight and more later this evening on drkelly.info. There is a marvelous video here that fully demonstrates how the GCMAP immunotherapy works. But Furman continues by saying it is naturally occurring in our bodies. It's the reason the majority of people are not suffering from cancer is that the macrophages in their immune system trigger the release of GCMAF, a vitamin B binding protein, vitamin D binding protein, I apologize, which seeks out and devours the toxins and early tumors in the blood supply. It's interesting. I talk about blood. I briefly reviewed something today that talks about a blood test that is now under very definitive experimentation and testing that, according to their report, is able to detect cancer far sooner than the present methodology. Well, yeah, but I can go back 20 plus odd years, and I talked about another alternative back then that the mainstream medical community refuses to deal with. Oh, no, they want to take you in and x-ray you and, you know, give you, you know, breast x-rays and all this other nonsense when there's something that's far more reliable that will actually detect cancer 5 years before standard x-rays will. A lot of things. Oh, and Dr. Furman says that no one has ever died of a GCMAF-related death, yet chemotherapy kills millions. John Banks, made a Freedom of Information request to Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency in the UK September of last year to ask for answers to the questions as to why anyone who handles an innocent, naturally occurring protein like GC-MAF gets such a harsh treatment when chemo and other FDA and MHRA-approved drugs kill so many. And yet their executives have covered up so many deaths get rewarded. That's kind of an interesting concept to take a look at. The statement was that Avandia opioids and Vioxx killed 450,000 in the USA. How many did they kill in England? Why are you still licensing Severex and Gardasil, which kill a person a week? Have you banned Paxil Serexat, which kill over 1,000 people and often make depression much worse? Your directors, Gerald Hedel and Ian Hudson, were ex the UK's GlaxoSmithKline. They killed 83,000 with their chemical drug Avandia, got a $3 billion fine for fraud in the USA because they concealed the fact that it killed. And yet the MHRA let them off with an absolute no penalty, and as a safe natural protein, GC-MAP has never killed anyone. Most don't even get its negligible side effects. And as of February of last year, this year, there was still no response to that letter. GC-MAP is a natural protein that already exists in the body, can even support your body's immune system during chemo and radiation. And as I've made it very plain and clear, I have no love of chemo nor radiation. Interesting comment just received from one of our readers, our listeners, who said MDs are very afraid of disciplinary action by people like the AMA or the ACA and worse. And he's right. You know, I think about the doctor I had when I was a kid, our family doctor, Dr. Irwin Smith. You know, that's back in the days when they would do house calls. These people cared. There's too many doctors today that don't care. Get you in, get you out. Come in an hour. Sometimes you go into your doctor's appointment, you're waiting 45 minutes to an hour because something came up. Yeah, something came up. What? The two hot babes from the drug company is selling you stuff? What really came up? Yeah, okay, never mind. Dr. Furman asked, specifically talking about GC-MAF, why are we not able to use this product to support the patient's immune system, which is being so heavily attacked by the chemo and the cancer? If we are in pain, then we can take pain medication. Why not a natural medication that can support the immune system when it's most under stress? We're not taught about these things at medical school, he says. It was only when I saw the amazing result of GC-MAP immunotherapy for myself that it led me on a further quest to see more. And he goes on to say the medical care business has it wrong. The medical care business model is failing. With more and more people getting sick, hospitals are overrun. A staggering 1 in 2 people in the USA and Europe are predicted to get cancer at some point in time in their lives, and the likelihood is everyone by 2040. These are government figures. What is the research industry doing? There are published research papers in peer-reviewed scientific journals that prove the effectiveness of GC-MAP. And yet, with billions of dollars invested every year, cancer research comes back with little more than the usual big three of chemo, radiation, and surgery. It's time we broadened our horizons, took off our blinkers. We need to stop stating the following phrase to our cancer patients, which is, if there were more that we could do, then we would. Because what that phrase really means is, I don't have the knowledge that goes further than my current level of understanding. Dr. Furman's right. The research is out there. Doctors are paid for their knowledge. Giving cake to a cancer sufferer is wrong. The canteen in hospitals has cakes and chocolate bars, and sugar feeds the fungus that feeds the cancer, and the cake and the cookies ain't the answer, folks. There's even fast food restaurants in some hospitals. It's out of control. It is insane. Oh, but private medical insurance and Medicare and Medicaid, oh, they're all going to support chemo, radiation, and surgery, which costs hundreds of thousands of dollars per patient, often with dismal results, leading to further care needed, further strain on the resources. But using immunotherapy and other holistic treatments can make people better, not worse. All has a better outcome for many cancers, costing one-tenth the price. Medical insurance could be or should be extended to cover these alternatives. If it's about helping save people and save money, the insurance company should be considering this for their business, saving money, improving health, both at the same time. But oh, no, 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 no. Don't kid yourself. I guarantee you Big Pharma's bought off the insurance companies too. There are patients who refuse chemo and radiation treatments to cure themselves naturally with diet and supplements. They should be given special dispensation to use some of this save money elsewhere. Why can the insurance companies not cover an improved diet and natural treatments if that is the patient's wish? When we publish this later tonight, and this is a very lengthy piece. There's a lot of links in it, all of which is going to be beneficial to you. I've also noted in my sharing there is a good number of typographical errors that I will clean up as I go along. But there's a short list of treatments that are both effective or a fraction of the cost in comparison to much of that that's being done today. There's ozone therapy, hyperbaric oxygen, full-spectrum cannabis oil, vitamins D3, K2 for the immune system, selenium, chromium, EDTA chelation, immunotherapy we've talked about much of this program tonight, stem cells, Rife machines, magnetic pairing, removal of amalgam fillings and root canals, and I urge each and every one of you to have that done anyway. Maybe next week we should spend some time and talk about the dental side of all this. Amalgam fillings and root canals are horribly dangerous and in fact can be cancer causing. Other things we'll be able to talk about: removal of fungus and prebiotics and probiotics, colonics to remove mucoid plaque, mineral replacements, magnesium, calcium orotate, and it goes on and on and on. MSM, that's a product I've been taking for almost 25 years. One of these nights, I've done this before, I'll share my story about MSM. I stopped taking it for a while. I've started taking it again. But not all MSMs are the same. So far, I'm happy with the MSM that I've acquired, but there's something missing in it. The biggest problems is pure MSM is one thing. It's when they start adding all this other stuff to it that it doesn't allow it to do what it really should be. Some of the other things, B17, bicarbonates, plant hormones, raw living spirulina. All these things would save taxpayers millions of dollars on the overall health budget. Health insurance premiums would come down. But then, of course, the doctors and Big Pharma and the hospitals wouldn't make as much money. All of this would make a lot of sense to create an entirely new humane department in hospitals. The alternative care ward. A new medical department within the mainstream structure. A place in between the oncology unit and the palliative care ward. Quite amazing. There's more to Dr. Furman's work that we're going to share. This is going to be one of those pieces that'll take me probably an hour and a half to prepare to get it published tonight. I hope you'll come take a look at it. Interestingly enough, the title of it is The Confessions of a Modern Medical Doctor. It brings back the sound. Stick around. Much more coming up on RBN tonight. Lord willing, I'll be back with you tomorrow with another installment of The Edge. Till then, be blessed. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Benning.
once more under the stars. And down by the shore an orchestra's playing. And even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin. Again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.